Church, I do want to encourage you in one thing, that we will be turning today into HeartStrong. If you have your Bibles, you can turn. We're actually going to dive into 1 Chronicles, starting at the end, 29 to 11. But if you have your Bibles, you can also turn to Psalm 90, verse 12. We're going to read from there in just a moment. HeartStrong has been an incredible, incredible journey for us as a church. Just a few Septembers ago, we said, you know what? We're going to walk through the Bible together over a three-year time period. And we are over halfway through that journey. And so today, we're going to read from Chronicles. But as we are past the halfway mark, Pastor Jason and Pastor Lori have sat with us as campus pastors, as the pastors across our Cornwall campus, our Kanata campus, our Orleans campus. And one of the things that our leads are currently engaged in is praying into what is next. And I love that. I love that. Church, I want to encourage you today that right now, a year out from when we will ever make an announcement, for when we ever start to reveal what it is that God will have us step into post-HeartStrong, I believe there's nine seasons. So before we ever get there, we are engaged right now as a leadership group in praying into God, where will you direct us next? And so I want to encourage you today, if you have a notepad, if you have your phone, if you're not doing this already, please, please, please place Pastor Jason and Pastor Lori in your weekly and daily prayers, asking that God would speak to them when it comes to the vision for Life Center, asking that God would speak to them and show them and reveal to them where it is that God wants us as a church to continue to move in the city, where it is that he wants to lead us through his word, and what studies that we should engage with, what direction he will then point us. This has been such a renewing and enriching piece of the Life Center journey to look at the church worldwide and say, you know what's really missing? A deep understanding of the Bible. And so you know what we're going to commit to? Last year on Father's Day, preaching from Leviticus. Right? Like, what a blessing that was. But it's really been fun as a church to skip nothing. Amen? To dig into everything that is in the Word. For some of us in this room, traveling through Leviticus and Deuteronomy, this was a first. To continue to go through Kings and now into Chronicles, which is really a rehashing of Kings, but from an overarching 10,000-foot view of what it is that's taking place. This is an enriching part of what we are doing as a church, to say, God, we want to know your Word. And we've seen the hunger for God's Word grow in this place. From discipleship night and rooted to planted to the online opportunities that we have each and every morning, Monday through Thursday, and each and every evening as well, to be able to dive into these verses. But today, Pastor Jason is, he's actually going to be more explaining this vision and what it is that he's hungry for. So if you have time this afternoon, please keep an eye on our YouTube channel. You can go on there and watch Pastor Jason and just the intro of what it is that he's going to be presenting there. But we are praying for new vision. We are praying that God would continue to direct, and we are not going to leave it till last minute. Hallelujah. Right? We're going to give this more than a year for God to speak into this space. And one of the most beautiful things, again, if you're new for Life Center, me too still, I've only been a part of the church for about 2 years, but one of the most beautiful things that I've learned is that previously, as they were praying into vision, actually God told them to pause. And so the longevity of praying into vision actually extended, which I love so much. This idea that exactly what Moses said, right? God, if we're not going where you're not going, right? Don't send us. We're not going to take this step. If your spirit isn't going to lead the way, we're good right where we are. As long as we know that we're with you, we're good. Oh, I love Life Center so much. All right, we are going to dive into Chronicles this morning. I am going to keep this nice and tight this morning, as Annalisa has already preached an entire sermon. But we are going to dive into Chronicles. And Chronicles is really our opportunity to look into and look back on 1 and 2 Kings and have an overarching understanding of what it is that was taking place. So Chronicles verses 1 to 9 begins to go through all the names of the key priests and kings. There's a lot of lineage in there. If you are on HeartStrong at 6 a.m., right? Or if you were one of the fortunate souls who got to lead it this morning, you know what I've been dealing with for the last couple of months. It was glorious, guys, to be able to listen to all of our family and friends struggle with all the names that I've struggled with for like 4 months. It was great. I was like, yes, yes, I have so much grace, so much grace. You just keep reading and keep diving in. But you'll go through and you'll see all of the different key priests and kings that were listed there. 1 Chronicles 10 all the way to 29 really focuses on the life of David, but not from that personal aspect. It doesn't get into the story of David and Bathsheba. It really gives an overarching understanding of what the kingship of David actually looked like. And 2 Chronicles really covers Judah's kings and an unfinished and unfolding redemption story in which we are also included. Hallelujah. Chronicles are factual written accounts of historical events in order to convey the occurrence of how things happened. And this is an important reading for us, as that we also are called to chronicle our lives. Church, it's important as we journey through the life and this relationship with God that we begin to chronicle what it is that God is doing in our life. And if you have not done this yet, I encourage you this afternoon, not right now, because we wanted to take you more time than what I have. So don't tune me out, but this afternoon, take a moment, tell your family, this is what the pastor said you have to do, and begin to go back. Go back. And begin to spell out, where has God been at work? I love Annalisa's testimony this morning of as God has just really manifested his Holy Spirit in her life over the last year, that she's able to walk back into really difficult circumstances and say, I didn't know what was going on here. And in my own power, I chose to walk one way, but God was still with me. Hallelujah. And even though I didn't understand what God was doing in that gentleman at Costco, I thought it was hilarious that Costco appeared multiple times in that testimony. That was great. And we were back at Costco. Even though I didn't know what that gentleman was doing, God was present. Church, it is important for us to begin to chronicle what our journey has looked like and ascribe to the pieces of the story that are God's, all glory and all honor to him. To begin to recite those things to our loved ones, to our neighbors, to our friends, to begin to remind ourselves of where it is that God has been. The importance of this is that it will allow you to remind yourself of what is fact and what you've created into fiction. See, a temptation for us as believers is that we are on this journey with God, and time continues to move forward. There is more gray hair in my hair today than ever before. Glory to God, I've earned it all, right? But as I look in the mirror, I'm reminded of just how old I am and how that clock continues to look forward. And I'm hungry to see the blessings that God has in store. The hard thing is that as I'm hungry to see the continual blessing that God will pour out, I can quickly forget or ascribe inappropriately the blessings that have taken place. Church, there's times in our lives where God will pour out his blessing, but if we do not chronicle our story, if we do not keep the Lord as our main focus, I've seen it happen. I've done it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of others where only through recollection do we remember, oh yeah, God did do that. And it allows us to separate fact from fiction. Right now, I've hit a very special part of my journey in this life, is that all of the algorithms that I have right now on YouTube and on the stories and all the things that I'm watching, they have come to the point where I'm now watching like dad Instagram stories. Right? I'm in like the dad mode of engaging this. So young people, you've probably never seen these before. But if you're in my age bracket or beyond, maybe you've seen this. But right now, my algorithms online are all sending me stories multiple times this week of the fact or fiction of, is it illegal to drive with the interior lights on? So, growing up, and my dad's coming into town this afternoon, so if he doesn't get to hear this, we're going to literally have this conversation this afternoon. Growing up, I remember multiple times as we were on the journey to the cottage to see my grandparents of, you know, you're back in the back, you got your Game Boy One where there's no color, and it's just this solid brick, and, you know, the lights begin to dim, so you turn the lights on so you can see, and I remember my dad saying, turn the lights off or we're going to get pulled over. Right? Anyone else? Anyone? Right? And so I have right now hit the algorithm part where I am learning, like it was today that I found out that somewhere along the lines, all of the people in my dad's generation, I don't know if you colluded, I don't know what was going on, but there was this just blanket statement that that was an illegal procedure. And if I'm being perfectly honest, I think I've probably said it too. But this is what happens in our lives, is that if we are not careful in our journey with God, church, I want to just plant our feet here this morning. In our journey with God, if we are not careful, we can begin to take credit for what it is that God has done. We can begin to ascribe the blessings that God pours out based off of our gifts, based off of our workings, based off of what it is that we have done. It is important for us to chronicle what it is that God has done so that we can plant our feet solely on His word and praise and worship Him as He is due. So I'm still doing research on whether or not that is illegal or not. You can come and talk to me afterwards. But right now, my algorithms are telling me that my dad's generation plotted against us all and that we have been told that you can't do it because it's illegal, but it is annoying to drive with those lights. So I see what it is that they were doing. I just don't know how that got so widespread and got carried away. But this is what is happening in the book of Chronicles. It's the opportunity for the Israelites to look back once again and see what it is that God has done, to be reminded when we see repetition in scripture, we need to pause and take note. Church, in our own lives, as God repeats things, as God moves in our lives, as other situations come up that look like the ones that we've been through, God is present. He has not left you and He will be faithful. Steve Hopkins describes our situation and culture as there are three different types of becoming. You can be self-focused, people that live life with a focus on self-gratification and fulfillment. You can be goal-driven, people that are focused on mastering life's challenges to achieve more. Or you can be Christ-focused, a people that are surrendered and aligned to discovering how to live like Jesus. God willing, we will all fall head over heels in love with that third category. Now, this does not mean that as believers that we are not goal-driven. This does not mean that as believers that we don't have secondary and primary hopes and dreams. What it truly means is that we are willing to lay everything down at the feet of Jesus and say, God, not me, but you. God, you know what it is that's on my heart. You know what it is that I'm believing for. And if you move in that way, God, all the glory and all the honor be unto you. But even if you don't, you're still God. This is where it is that we want to focus as believers, as we chronicle our lives. Church, you will watch as you chronicle the ups and the downs and the lefts and the rights and how the world turned sideways at one point. But what it is that I truly believe that God wants to speak this morning is that He has never left you or forsaken you. That He has always been present. And that as you chronicle your life, you will see God's hand at work over and over and over again. Psalms 90 verse 12 says that God wants to teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom, to have a recollection of where it is that He has been, to have a better understanding that He is present here today so that as we look forward, we can trust and believe, God, just as you were, just as you are, so will you be. This is the God that we serve. Tim Mackey describes the book of Chronicles like this. He says, the book of Chronicles ends by pointing forward, encouraging God's people to look back and see their past as the source of hope for the future. Chronicles is the conclusion of the Hebrew Bible as it highlights the messianic promises yet to be fulfilled. In fact, the key verse this morning from 1 Chronicles 29 is found in verse 11. It reads like this, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. I'm going to read that again. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. All that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted above all. Church, let's read that again. Spoke on this just a few weeks ago of how God is seated on the throne. Amen? And I just want to speak from 1 Chronicles today, a reminder as we sang today of who the King of heaven and earth is. King Jesus. Church, what does that mean this morning? King Jesus. It's not just a fun part of a song. It's a declaration. Amen? It's a reminder this morning for our souls as we are getting information from left and from right and all over the place. It's a reminder and a proclamation this morning. Jesus, you are King of this world, of this country, of my life. For yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Church, let's separate some fact from fiction today. Come on, right? Let's stand upon scripture as a reminder this morning that no matter where it is that we would be challenged to point in and to direct power and authority, all power and all authority has been given to us through Jesus Christ. He who sits on the throne of eternity, he who speaks love and grace and mercy, he who has opened the doors to eternity, this is our King, and he is the same today as he will be tomorrow, as he was in days past. This separates fact from fiction. It is an opportunity for us as believers to walk into a world that doesn't know him yet, to be able to stand with back straight and arms outstretched to those that are seeking for some form of stability, and to, as they look and they say, why aren't you scared? Why aren't you worried? Why aren't you concerned? As everything is flipping upside down, because it is not in our own power that we stand. It's not in our own ability. It's not in our own provision. We stand alone on the word of God, collectively as a church, saying, God, we don't know where everything is going, but you do. And as a church, we will believe. As a church, we will declare that you are King. You are Lord. You are worthy to be praised. Whew, I got so much left I want to say. All right, stay with me. As God pours out upon his people, one of the things, and I'm going to read it this morning, I read it for our incredible worship team. It comes from the book of Numbers. It's found in verse 6, and there's times at the end of service we'll read this over the congregation. Verse 6, verse 22, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, church, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. As we continue to walk through HeartStrong, I want to pause this morning as we're talking about separating fact from fiction, and I want to dive into the idea of blessing today. What does it mean to be blessed by the Lord? As you follow through 1 Kings and 2 Kings and then 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, you will see God active and there and visible in each and every verse and every chapter. One of the beautiful things that Chronicles does is it looks back at what it is that God has done, but then it looks up at who it is that God has declared himself to be. And then it stands on the promises as it looks forward. Okay? It looks back on what it is that God has done, then it looks up at who it is that God has declared himself to be in order to look forward, that God will fulfill his promises. Back, forward. Oh, no, back, yeah, someone said it. Back, up, forward. What we typically do is we look back, we look in, and then we look forward. We look back on what it is that God has done. We look inwards towards the blessings that we want and are expecting. And then we look forward and tell God how it is that he should play that out. Amen? Let's be honest. See, this is one of the struggles that I had in my own journey with God that I've watched play out in the life of many a believer, is that there is a truth that as you follow the Lord, you will be blessed. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Right? This is a promise that the Lord has said, that as you declare the name of Jesus, there will be a blessing that will fall on your life. The difficulty, the separation from fact to fiction, is that it doesn't always look like the blessing that we want it to be. See, at 12 years old, as I was hearing my dad proclaim that following the Lord will make you blessed, and I was abstaining from swearing and doing all the things that the Bible had told me to do, the blessings that I received at 12 years old was an Alzheimer's diagnosis for my grandma. The blessing that I received at 12 years old was to walk into a brand new school in which I was learning a language that I really didn't know, and to look around and ask the Lord, "But where are my friends?" The blessing that I received at 12 years old was a lot of questions and not a lot of answers. And so I remember just looking at all the things that had been proclaimed and struggling with this understanding. I created a false narrative of what it meant to be blessed by the Lord. I believed that being blessed by the Lord meant that God was going to do what it is that you wanted him to do. In church, there are times where God will show up in power and he will blow your mind. He will actually do even more than you ever expected. We heard that testimony today. Come on. God is at work. He hears the cries of our hearts. And Jesus would tell his disciples that, you know, as God gives good gifts to the birds and the sparrows, of course, he's going to pour out blessing upon each and every one of us. But I want to challenge you this morning that you are blessed, full stop. I want to challenge you this morning that there is a separation from fact or fiction. Blessing does not mean that your life is going well. Blessing does not mean that your health is in perfect condition. Church, blessing does not mean that your children listen to every word that comes out of your mouth. Blessing means that God is present in it all. Come on, I'm going to say that again. Blessing means that God is present in it all. As the doctor's diagnosis comes forward and it's not at all what you were expecting and hoping for, God is there. As you begin to tell your children how it is that they should live, and you sit in your room and you say, "God, if I could just run their life for them, I would make such great decisions, just like I did." Wait a second. Right, church, God is there. Hallelujah. When you're expecting God to show up and to provide a great provision, and yet it seems like you're just constantly in a season of want and a season of need, church, God is there. He is speaking blessing over his people, not that we would receive what it is that we want, but that we would have a deep dwelling understanding that he has already given us more than we could ever possibly hope for or dream. Church, you are blessed this morning because by inviting Jesus in as your Savior, you are free. I'm going to say it again. Church, you are blessed this morning. And some of us in this room, I am not making light of your situation. I am praying and believing that God will heal, that God will provide, that God will drastically change where it is that you find yourself. But I also want to proclaim a fact today that is not congruent on where it is that you stand, that by inviting Jesus in as your Savior, you are blessed because you are free from the punishment of death. It has no hold on you. Hallelujah. Glory be the name of Jesus. You are blessed. Church, you are blessed this morning because by living for him and becoming a servant, you are secured in the adoption of Jesus Christ. No longer having to live on your own or through your own strength. In those times that you find yourself where it's just completely overwhelming, you are blessed to be able to open your hands and say, "God, I'm tired of holding on to these things. I give them to you." And church, he is there. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. by becoming adopted into the kingdom of the Lord, you have been blessed, for he has granted you peace to know that this world cannot truly bring you harm. You are promised and secure in the hands of the Lord. Are you blessed?
Yes.
You are blessed, and we pray and we believe for the miraculous to take place in your life. But even in times of grief, even in times of struggle, even if in this world our life would fade away, as the Bible describes it, as like a wisp, as a mist that flows so quickly, we can stand on the word of the Lord and know that he has us. Yeah. And not only individually, hallelujah. See, as he's pouring out these words and numbers, it's not for them to take it as an individual blessing. It's for them to understand that he is going to move in the nation of Israel. And church, I want to encourage you today that just as Annalisa has testified today, there are other unspoken testimonies in the midst of this congregation today. God is moving. We are blessed. We are blessed today. And so I just come against any lie of the enemy that would speak fiction over your journey and over your relationship with God, that would say that he's not present, he's not doing anything. I call bullocks on that right now in the name of Jesus. He is present, alive, and moving, and we are blessed because he sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins. And he rose him again on the third day. And he called him to come and be seated at his right hand. And he has released his Holy Spirit into the lives of each and every one of us, that now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That as we pray, hell quakes. That we can go to things like Heart Conference and not just have cool sweaters to come away with. Although the sweaters are cool. But when we proclaim that God has given us the power to crush snakes, church, it's in Jesus' name. It's in Jesus' name that we declare this blessing and this authority that has been given to us. So we separate fact from fiction. Today I want to close with this. Adults in this room, this is a challenge for us to chronicle our story, to go back and say, God, I see where it is that you have been faithful. And instead of looking inward to our current situation, to instead to choose, come on, to choose to look up and say, God, I see you seated on the throne. And I declare today, without looking around, whether it's in a season of blessing or a season of waiting, God, I declare that today, as I will tomorrow, when tomorrow becomes today, God, I declare that you are King. And so the blessing that will pour out, Lord Jesus, I leave it in your hands. But no matter what that looks like, no matter what tomorrow looks like, when it becomes my today, you are present. And you are present, and you are present, and you are present. And when we see him face to face, church, we will hear those words in Jesus' name. Well done, my good and faithful servant, as your eyes are locked on him and not on yourself. This is the fact or fiction. Blessing is not that everything is going well. Blessing is that Jesus has already done so much that we are not the same because of him. So adults in this room, that is our challenge. Young people in this room, I have a challenge for you as well. My prayer is that this church would be so different as we center ourselves on the word, that you would not have a false narrative of what being blessed in the name of the Lord is, that the enemy would not be able to use the same weapons of attack that he has done on the generations before, but instead the generations that are going before you would actually begin to live this out and proclaim, when the sun is shining, Jesus is Lord. And when the darkness seems the darkest, that we would proclaim, but the light pierces the darkness, Jesus is Lord. And that would give you freedom. That would give you freedom to declare that you are blessed. And so I'm going to ask anyone in this room that would consider themselves young, I'm not going to put a label on it this morning, but if you're here and at least 30 or under, and if you're like, hey, 35 is still young, you can stand too. But I'm just going to ask you to stand. I'm just going to ask you to stand. I had a great conversation with Pastor Skylar this week. Didn't she do amazing last week? Wasn't that incredible? And she noted as I challenged her, you know, the let us pray and prayer position stuff when we put it together. And she just spoke this thing. I want to speak over each and every young person in this room. She said, you know, I love it when you take a moment and center on the young people. And I said, well, you know, we've asked them to be in this service with us, not to join us in this service, because we truly believe that this is your service. And so, young people in this room, I want to speak blessing over you. I want to remind you this morning from fact and fiction that no matter what it is that anyone speaks over you, it is only true if God confirms it. I'm going to speak that again. Young person, I'm going to speak over you. As you chronicle your history, it may not be as long as some of ours, but God has been present in it. And I want to just let you know today that no matter what it is that is spoken over you, it is only true if God confirms it, because he knows who you truly are and he knows the path that he has set you on. And so we, as your fellow believers and as your church, are going to call out to the character that God has planted in there so that you are able to discern fact from fiction. That those who know the Lord and are getting to know you and watching as God moves in your life, that we would call out the fact of who you truly are. And I want to let you know that at any moment where it seems that your world begins to turn upside down and you don't know where it is that God is, you can come and talk to us. And we will help you discern fact from fiction. Because though the details of your story may be unique, the overall scope is not so much. Each and every one of us in this room have been in those places where we've asked, God, where are you? Each and every one of us in this room have been asking those same things. God, will you ever show up? God, will you come through? God, can you make it clear? God, would you speak to me? But young person, I want to speak to you this morning. On behalf of the Lord, you are blessed. And he loves you. And he is not so distant. You can sit down today. Church, let's pray as we close. God, I pray a double anointing of your blessing on this congregation. God, that you would enrich and purify our souls, our hearts, and our minds today. A reminder today, Lord Jesus, that your blessing is not monetary. Your blessing is not material. Your blessing, Lord Jesus, although it can be seen in the miraculous revelation of those things, your blessing is so much deeper. God, your blessing stems from the fact that all of the promises that we're reading about in the Old Testament, God, that they have been fulfilled in the name of Jesus. God, that we are not awaiting a Messiah, but we know his name. His name is Jesus Christ, and he was born in that small town of Bethlehem, and he lived, and he died for our sins. And so, God, today we declare here in Life Center Canada that we are blessed because you have called us so. And so, Lord, we choose today to once again lay our life down at your feet. Would you renew us today, Lord Jesus, with the understanding and the joy of our salvation? God, I pray that the light of your salvation, I pray, Holy Spirit, that your words would be so powerful today, Lord God, that it would disperse the darkness, Lord God, that I pray the weight, Lord God, of what it is that each person in this room maybe even came in with, Lord, I pray it be gone right now in Jesus' name, and may the peace and the joy of the Lord rest on your people today. God, as we go from this place, may we smile. God, as we go from this place, may we hope. As we go from this place, God, may our joy be renewed. And Lord Jesus, I pray that the fruit of your Spirit would grow in each and every one of us as we do not plug into our own source, but instead, God, we choose and we remember and we declare that, God, we will be planted by the living water. So God, we declare today that our roots will rest in you. And God, as people come into contact with us this week, may they not pick from the fruit of our tree, but God, may it be you and you alone. Let them see you in fullness, God, and bring us into conversations and opportunities that will allow that to happen. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.